everyone, and welcome back to another fabulous Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited about our show today because, one, we have a show that we've been dying to share with you that a previous guest last year mentioned, and two, joining us to talk about that show is a former guest of our Whisper in the Wings. We had such a blast speaking with her last fall about a great show at La Mama. So with now all that vagueness put out there, let us tell you who we have on. Joining us, we have the actress Elizabeth Stallman, who is joining us to talk about Here There Are Blueberries, playing now through June 16th at New York Theater Workshop. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting nytw.org. Again, we are so excited about this show and our guests. We are so excited to be sharing all of this with you. So with that, let us welcome back on Elizabeth Stallman. So wonderful to have you back here on Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Hi, Andrew. I'm so happy to be back. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. And you have brought with you this amazing show that I personally have been just so excited about since the moment New York Theater Workshop announced it in their season clear back last year. So to get to have you talk to us about this show that wraps up their 23-24 season, this is so exciting. So
I am so excited too. It's exciting to talk about.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So let me start by having you tell us a little bit about what Here There Are Blueberries are about.
Okay. So I play the lead archivist of this particular story from the Holocaust Memorial Museum. Her name is Becky Erbelding. And in her younger years and beginning her career at the museum, she realized that a donation that was sent to her by a retired lieutenant colonel of a photo album was in particular extremely important and a little controversial for the museum to accept, because it was an album that featured only Nazis and the perpetrators of the Holocaust, and it didn't feature any victims, which is what the Memorial Museum had been dedicated to, which was humanizing and honoring them. So we delve into the story of the real life story of this archivist discovering with her team what this album means to us as a society, to that part of history, and to what it means to us now.
Wow. That is incredible. What a brilliant story. Let me just quickly ask real fast, because I feel very ignorant here for a second. Is this a true story?
This is all true. These are what Tectonic does, Tectonic Theater Project, Moises Kaufman and Amanda Gronick and Scott Barrow and Grant Vargas, they are all creators of this piece and members of Tectonic Theater Project, and they make plays based on their primary sources. They go and they interview people, they research people. So Laramie Project was a result of that. And Gross Indecency, The Three Trials of Oscar Wilde, was also a delving into different primary sources. And so what we do as actors is interpret, both as narrators and characters, that story. And so it takes a very specific tone and style that has been developed by Tectonic Theater Project. And we embody in a really imaginatively staged way this information.
That is incredible. Wow, what a story. So I would love to know, how did you come upon this piece?
Yeah, that's a great question. Any actor get sent auditions from my agency was looking out for me. And this is a piece that in particular was interesting to me, mainly at first because it was directed by Moises Kaufman and it was a piece that he was developing. And so I knew that historically speaking, this would be a really exciting piece to be a part of. And I submitted a tape, and then I went through a process of a couple auditions, and then I was cast in the original production, which was at La Jolla Playhouse. And the process at La Jolla Playhouse was in particular really exciting because we had a very long rehearsal period, because Moises and his team and all the designers who were there from day one knew that they would have to develop this with the tech, and that tech wasn't going to be secondary like it often is introduced in rehearsal processes at the end. It was going to be integral from the beginning, because this play centers around the photographs in the album. And these photographs are as much a part of the story as any of the text. And so they had developed a certain vocabulary in how they were going to show these pictures and how we were going to interact with them. And we continued to develop that at La Jolla. And then we brought the piece to DC last spring, about a year ago. And that was really exciting as well, because that's when the Holocaust Memorial Museum of DC began to interact with it on a deeper level. And it was really exciting to share it with historians and archivists who could understand the deep scholarly value of this piece, but also the artistic integrity that comes when you give artists the opportunity to delve deep into history.
I love that. That is amazing. What a journey you've gotten to go on with this show. This is fabulous.
So thank you.
I want to build on this a little bit. Now, the show obviously is up on its feet. It's currently running at New York Theater Workshop. What has it been like developing the piece, especially, you know, between this most recent DC production and now here in New York?
That's a great question, because the space, as you might imagine, is significantly smaller. You know, New York Theater Workshop is this beautiful little space that's about 250, I think. And DC was much larger, and there was more distance from the audience. So a lot of what we adjusted as performers was understanding the proximity of the audience. And that, I think, it offers a really intimate conversation that couldn't have happened in a bigger space. So this is in particular a special place to do it. And obviously, because it's projections and because there's a lot of moving pieces, that we had to consider sight lines in a different way. And these writers are brilliant, and they continue to hone what the story is about. And given the recent atrocities of the last year in the Middle East, it's been even more interesting to do this piece and understand how humanity is interpreting it now. I have to say also, this is a side note, but not really a side note, that this play and these writers just received a Pulitzer finalist award yesterday.
That is amazing.
I know, it's so cool.
Amazing.
They're Pulitzer finalists. It's awesome. So I'm so happy for them. And it's so exciting to be a part of something like this that feels so timely and poignant and extremely expertly done.
That is incredible. Oh my gosh. It must have been crazy yesterday when you all learned. That was amazing.
Oh yeah, we were all so thrilled and sending each other so many messages and phone calls. It was really, really exciting.
Oh, that's so fantastic. Well, congratulations to everyone involved for receiving that honor. And I want to build on that a little bit, because I want to ask, with this powerful piece, this great writing, is there a message or thought you're hoping the audiences will take away?
Well, I think what's interesting about this album, and obviously what made it famous, is that we, as spectators, look at this album and see Nazis being human. And you don't see them committing atrocities or doing any crimes or anything like that. They are simply existing and luxuriating at Auschwitz at the exact same time in which they are parallel committing some of the worst atrocities that humanity has ever seen. So we're hoping to challenge the audience to hopefully acknowledge and see how we, also ordinary human beings, just like what we see in the album, could become complicit, complacent, or culpable in whatever sort of atrocity or tragedy or societal wrong could be happening now, however you want to see it. And I think it asks us to really examine ourselves.
That is a beautiful, beautiful thought. I love that. And again, the fact that this is based on a true story, I mean, it's only emphasized even more. And that leads to my final question, which I'm really excited to learn. And that, of course, is who do you hope have access to Here There Are Blueberries?
Oh, gosh. I mean, that's a great question. I don't think there it has a limit. I hope that each of us have an opportunity to examine this. I think it's our responsibility as civilians to look deeply at ourselves and our own participation, knowingly or hopefully revealing the unknown participation that we have in whatever sort of thing is happening in the world at the moment. So I don't think there's a real limit. I do have to say that it is an honor to perform this play in a city where it's the second largest Jewish population in the world. And that in particular brings with it a lot of survivors and descendants of survivors. And yeah, so that's an exciting opportunity for sure. But I want everyone to see this play.
The second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit more. And of course, we have had the distinct honor of having you with us before. So I actually want to start this second part off by asking you, how is it that you came into the performing arts?
Oh, I started as a kid. I was really young and I think I had a lot of energy, and my mom thought this might be an interesting place for her to have an outlet. And I think I quickly learned how much fun it was to take acting classes, because it was like imagination classes. And I also quickly learned how much the people in the theater really made me feel comfortable. And I feel like I could be myself in a way that I really hadn't understood before that. And yeah, so I started as a kid in Minneapolis, and I did children's theater at their incredible theater there in Minneapolis for years with the Children's Theater Company. And I also did shows at the Guthrie. And then I wound up in New York after touring with a theater called the Acting Company. And we would start in Minneapolis and then tour throughout the nation and then wind up in New York. And at one point I thought, well, I might as well just stay here.
I love that. That is the way to get into theater, number one. And that's also the best way, number two, to end up in the city. You're just like, oh, well, I might as well stay.
So, exactly.
I love that you were a child with lots of energy and your mom looked at the theater and went, I think this would be a good place for her. Like,
yeah,
we're not that energetic in the theater. What? No.
No.
It's like exactly. The same thought as going to the theater for the money. It's absolutely there, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, but definitely. I love that. That is a great origin story.
Thank you.
I know you have been very busy with Here There Are Blueberries, but I thought I'd ask all the same. Have you seen any great theater lately you might be able to recommend to our listeners?
Oh, well, I guess it's Tony nominated more than any other show in history, but Stereophonic rocks. And I have friends in it who are having such a good time. And it's such a spectacular piece and was gripping. And all 3 hours, I was totally on the edge of my seat. And it was very, very exciting to watch that kind of work.
Oh, I love that. I can't wait to see that show. I've heard nothing but amazing things, all the way from playwrights now onto Broadway. This is amazing.
I know, it's awesome. It's so special.
Now, of course, I can't let you leave without asking our favorite question once again, and that is, what is your favorite theater memory? Or since you've joined us before, what's another of your favorite theater memories?
Oh, that's a great question. It's probably fooling around, like doing something inappropriate backstage for my own theater memory behavior. It's something where probably like playing bumper cars with the wardrobe racks and being a kid and just wrecking havoc. So those, I'm sure those wardrobe people just rue the day I got into theater, but I do feel that there's a lot of magic and camaraderie backstage, and those backstage stories are some of my favorite memories from theater.
Yes. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you or the company have any other projects coming in the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Gosh, I mean, I don't want to speak on behalf of Tectonic, but they are doing a Sasha Velour show coming up. And they're all, I mean, he's always got shows coming up the pike. And but in terms of pieces that I'm working on, my husband runs a theater company out of his family's barn in Utica, New York. It's called Theater at Woodsill. And this summer they're doing Much Ado About Nothing. And so I'll be doing that this summer, and it's super fun. And hopefully, I'll also be working on contemporary Polish playwrights' really wild production this fall that would be coming to the Gombrowicz Festival in Poland. So hopefully, those all work out. But that's about it for now. That's what I'm up to.
That is fantastic. So, some wonderful shows that we need to keep our finger on. And that leads to my final question, which, of course, is if our listeners would like more information about Here There Are Blueberries or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Oh gosh, I really, well, that definitely go onto the New York Theater Workshop website and check out tickets. I do also think they have $25 same day artist tickets that you can go and see if there are any left. But it is selling out, and there's more and more publicity every day with the Pulitzer, and then there's a segment in the news for Anderson Cooper coming out pretty soon. So I would jump on the tickets if you can. And getting in touch with me, gosh, I really don't have social media. I have Facebook. You can reach out to me on Facebook.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. It has been a joy talking with you again, especially about this piece. This is so wonderful. I can't wait to see you when I come see the show. So thank you so much.
Yeah, reach out. Reach out. Let me know.
My guest today has been the amazing actress Elizabeth Stallman, who joined us to talk about her current work, Here There Are Blueberries. It's playing now through June 16th at New York Theater Workshop, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting nytw.org. You are not going to want to miss this show. You are going to want to hurry and get your tickets because, as Elizabeth mentioned, they are selling out faster and faster every day. This show is getting a lot of great press and well-deserved accolades as well. So make sure you head over to the New York Theater Workshop, nytw.org. Get your tickets now for Here There Are Blueberries, playing now through June 16th. So until
Nice.
next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.